this is something that I may be taking a little bit out of sequential order, but not really, because these two things will take place over a long period of time. They are not instantaneous. They will go on for some time during the return of Christ. And so today we're going to talk about, and to be cute for the second week in a row, talked last week about the tale of two comings. Today we're going to talk about the tale of two chairs. And as Paul pointed out, I'm not J.R.R. Tolkien, it is not the tale of two towers. Revelation 20, verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. And death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name is not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. And then please put your finger there. If you have one of these handy little dandy things in your Bible, you can put that right there. Ribbons, I guess they call them. Bookmarker. And will you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Just one verse, verse 17. Therefore, now we could go back and we could spend a lot of time setting up what it is that Paul is saying therefore about. But suffice it to say that he's talking about when believers reach the end of their life. He has started that topic in the first verse of that chapter. And he says, therefore, because we have a home in heaven, because there is life after death, because Jesus rose from the dead, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And then verse 10. Even though we are a new creation, for we, and that we is not all humanity, that we is not every human being, that is believers, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. We have lost the fact in the church today that there will be a judgment. In fact, I have held this for many, many years, and it informs my entire ministry. And it seems that most of those who carry the name pastor or reverend or priest or father or whatever it is today seem to think that their calling is something entirely different. But let me say that I believe that the first, the primary, and the by far most important job of a pastor is to give people fair warning of the judgment that is to come. Whatever else a pastor does, oh, he was my best friend, he was there for me, that's wonderful. But if on judgment day, God looks at you and says, lake of fire, that pastor is not going to be your friend. Whatever failings or shortcomings, and we all have many of those, do we not? the one thing that a pastor cannot fail at is to give adequate warning to the judgment that is coming, because it is foreordained that all of us will face judgment. There are two distinct judgments, and we're going to talk about that today, or at least get started. But not one of us will avoid appearing before judgment. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, verse 30. In the past, Acts 17, 30, God overlooked such ignorance. He's talking about idolatry. He's talking about pagan sin. He's talking about the wickedness that Paul saw as he was walking through the city of Athens. And he says, God has winked at it. And you know, if God didn't wink, to use his word, to wink at our sin, how many of us would stand? So we are not some goody-two-shoes saying, I'm here and I'm good and you're not and ha, ha, ha. The person who is truly saved understands the depth of forgiveness that their personal sin requires. But now he commands some people. Is that what the Bible says? The worst people. You see Hitler's name there? Hitler and Manson and 10 or 12 others. All people in Israel. Do you know, I had someone who went to church here and went off to a Bible school and actually had a professor from a so-called conservative Bible college tell him that repentance was only for the Jews. All people in Israel? Is that what it says? All people everywhere. Does that include you? Does that include me? Does that include the people in the jungles of Africa? How about the people in the ice floes of the north? How about the research people in South Antarctica? How about if you're up in space on the space station? Everywhere covers it, doesn't it? Remember the Russian cosmonaut, the first man outside the atmosphere? Took a look out his little window and looked around and said, well, I've been out in space and God isn't here. That would be like a baby taking one step across their bedroom carpet and going, well, I've been through the whole world and zebras don't exist. No matter where we go, God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because he wants to bless us. No, for he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead. There is a day of judgment coming. That means that every unsaved person will be judged. We just read it. I hope you kept your little marker there. Revelation 21. Notice what it says in verse 12, Revelation 21, 12. And I saw the dead. This is not believers. believers are not referred to as the dead. They are referred to as those who are asleep or the dead in Christ. These are the truly dead. I want you to notice that death is not the end. Do you understand that every single American heresy in the last 250 years, and we've had a slug of them, have gone back to a belief in universalism that they could not accept that there was a hell? The Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses, all came out of rejecting true Christianity because they couldn't accept that there was a hell. These are the people who are under judgment. And I saw the dead, great and small. Notice there is no difference. Well, the rich are going to get theirs. Yes, they are, but so are the poor. Well, those powerful, they're going to get theirs. Yes, but so are the weak. There is no distinction. All will stand before that great white throne. And the books, notice that plural, the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, according to the books. I was listening to a pastor a while ago, and they said probably the least believed doctrine of God is the doctrine of God's immanence or His omnipresence. We do not act as though we believe in God's immanence or omnipresence. The fact that we use words like, well, I'm alone. We truly believe that God is here. We do not believe that we are ever alone. He went on and he then said that you will do things in the privacy of your own so-called aloneness in front of a holy God who is more holy than you can imagine, that you would never do in front of people who are just as sinful as you are. Isn't that amazing? Blows my mind. Every deed will be recorded, and every deed will be judged. It's no different for us. Look at what 2 Corinthians says to those who are truly in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we looked at it, verse 10. For we must, some of us, appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Pastors and missionaries must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Apostles only must appear before. Is that what it says? We all. We're in this together, folks. We all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what he is due for the what? Things done while in the body. Let me be absolutely clear about this. The Bible says that this judgment will be utterly minute in the measure that it is given. Look with me at Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. Matthew 12, 36. Matthew 12, 36. Matthew 12, 36. But I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. Can you imagine that every word we speak is being recorded? Everything we say when no one's around? Everything we mutter under our breaths, Every outburst that we excuse because we were angry or they deserved it or whatever, I think if we really believe that, we might live a little differently than we do today. So easy to push that off. Notice also, look with me at Matthew 16:27. Matthew 16:27. For the Son of Man is going to come in His Father's glory with His angels, and then He will reward each person according to what he has done. Everything I've done will be evaluated, whether I am saved or whether I'm lost. To live with the reality of that. Notice also that the judgment will be public. Look with me at Luke chapter 8, verse 17. Luke 8:17, for there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Or again in Luke chapter 12, verse 3. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight. Luke 12:33. And what you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the rooftops. 12:3. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that have no more they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after killing the body, has power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Now, here's the horrible thing. We need to be perfectly clear because the Bible is absolutely clear. Unlike the false teachers of our day that say, you've signed this little card. This is your spiritual birth certificate. Never let anyone tell you you're not saved. The Bible doesn't say assume your salvation. The Bible says what? Test your salvation. And it says this because the writers of the Bible knew with absolute clarity what is at stake. Let me be perfectly clear. Turn back with me to Revelation 20. We're going to be back there. There is not a single unsaved person who will pass their judgment. Not one. I don't care how good you were. Well, what about? And someone will throw out a name. Oh, they were such a good person. Here's what it says, Revelation 20:15. If anyone, how many people are covered by anyone? Does that leave room for exceptions? When the Bible says, whosoever will may come, who's that available to? Everyone. So when it says, if anyone, same inclusion, if anyone's name was not found in the book of life. Notice it doesn't say if anyone didn't have enough good deeds in their books. It doesn't talk about for this how many good deeds there were in the books, does it? Those things are judged, but they are not what get a person into heaven or hell. One thing matters when it comes to heaven and hell. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. There is nothing more horrific than that truth. I don't say it because, won't it be wonderful? I have watched this week as despicable people have done despicable things. Let's be clear. It will be horrific for the most despicable person in the history of the world to be cast into that lake of fire. It was never meant for people. It was designed for the devil and his angels. There are far too many who choose to go there because they refuse to have their names written in the Lamb's book of life. I've got my own religion, they'll tell us. Well, your book of life doesn't carry any weight, only the Lamb's does. Well, I believe that I'm good enough. Well, your book of life doesn't carry any weight, only the Lamb's does. Well, I think there are many ways to God. You have your way and I have my way. First of all, if I have my way, then my way is just as wrong as your way. Because my way doesn't lead anywhere good either. The only difference is I gave up my way. That's what it means to repent. Because the only way to escape that great white throne is to be written in the Lamb's book of life. There is a great contrast between these two judgments. The judgment of the dead that we read about in Revelation 21 is a judgment of final damnation. And no one who is unsaved escapes it. How horrible. Believer's judgment is a judgment of reward. The God who saves us for free wants to reward us for all eternity. What wondrous grace is this? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Paul's been talking about the resurrection now for some time in 1 Corinthians, all of chapter 15, which is 58 verses long. So he's been talking for just a little while about the resurrection. And he ends by saying again, therefore, because all the stuff I've taught about the resurrection is true, therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. God will reward every single thing done for Him. Let's go back to the Old Testament just for a second. Proverbs chapter 3. Solomon knew this. Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3, verses 3 and 4. Proverbs 3 and 4. Let love and faithfulness, Proverbs 3, 3 and 4, never leave you. Oh, that we had people who were faithful today. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. God rewards faithfulness. Or look at James. James chapter 1, verse 12. James chapter 1, verse 12. James 1, 12. Blessed is the man, James 1:12, who perseveres under trial. Because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. So here's the last thing I want to say today. There are two chairs coming. First of all, do not be at the second chair. Stand in front of that judgment seat of Christ, not the great white throne. Because there is not one dark soul who will stand before that great white throne who has any hope for all eternity. Make sure that you're one of the we that must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Oh, what a different scene that will be. But second of all, turn with me to 2 John, that little tiny book. I want to make sure you get into 2 John, because one of these days, if you're redeemed, you're going to be in heaven, and John's going to walk up to you and go, "Did you read my second letter? It was kind of short." John, it's only one chapter, verse 8. Watch out. Watch out. Don't lose this. Watch out that you do not lose what you have worked for, but that you may be fully rewarded. Anyone who runs ahead, there are people today that are so far out in front of where God is that they don't even know what's going on, and does not continue in the teaching of Christ, does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. Watch out that you do not lose what you've worked for. Let's bow together. Oh God, there are two chairs coming. There is a great white throne, and he who sat upon it. There is a judgment seat of Christ, and we who stand before it. There is a judgment in which the dead are brought forth and are condemned. And into the lake of fire they are pushed. There is a crown of life to be won by those who have been faithful in the cause of Christ. Lord, help us not to lose our reward in Jesus' name.